News Network. I'm Bear with BearIndependent.com, founder and CEO of this company, Refuge Medical, joined today by John Willis of SOE Tactical. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, John.
Hello. Hello,
we
Bear.
We
have to sound Bear voice.
Very professional today.
My beard has to grow bigger while I'm here.
Just the proximity. It'll happen.
All right. Yes. Just like you're absorbing testosterone from my breath.
I can't even help it.
You're going to get pregnant.
My cable out and try again.
Can the guy in there that can read lips just have him type it out real fast, transcribe?
Just leave the cable out. Just leave it out. How about now? Pull it out of the bottom of the phone, too. There we go. All right. How about now? We got a 5x5 or what?
5x5.
10x4.
There we go.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about economic warfare with China today and American manufacturing. Which I think is interesting, because I don't believe either of us know very much about American manufacturing.
No.
So we're gonna have to shoot from the hip on this one.
I mean, my plants are all in China.
Mine too.
I've been accused of actually having a mock plant, right? Just so we could say that we manufacture. I mean, never mind the actual U.S. citizens that are in some of those.
Never mind the people that I saw in there this morning,
right.
And all of the. Dude, those butt packs that you have, they're gorgeous, man.
Yeah, they're badass. They are.
I'm going to talk to you about one of those later, dude. It's amazing. All right, so intel from the Bear Nation. Quote, I work in the private equity world for a handful of North American groups with funds all greater than $1 billion. We deploy American capital, grow American companies, consolidate and improve American industries, and eventually return American capital back to American shareholders in the form of endowments and pension funds. I dig that. I can confirm that for the last 5+ years, each of those groups has refused to invest in companies in North America that have manufacturing or any other related exposure to China, including any minor to significant supply chain exposure to China. This is significant given the amount of capital being deployed in the private sector. You frequently mention slave labor issues with China. But our groups are well aware of working condition issues, quality issues, and raw material sourcing issues. Generally speaking, the groups we work with have a Midwest culture, they hate China, and they run for the hills regarding any Chinese investment. According to these private equity groups' CEOs, they believe that we have an imminent decoupling event with China on the horizon, and that intel comes from prior investment with boots on the ground in China. What do you think about that?
It sounds, yeah. I mean, let's hope.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Yeah, that sounds great.
I like it.
So he doesn't work for BlackRock, is what I just heard.
That yeah, that's what I heard that as well. Yeah, well, because the funds were only $1 billion, not
pushing
a trillion.
Well, and nothing to do with China. I mean, doesn't China for the most part own BlackRock? I mean, just like our president.
Yeah. Oh well, he's bought and paid for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, 10% for the big guy.
That's right.
So, which I think it's interesting. I've never met Joe Biden. I don't think he's that big, though.
No.
Right? So it's kind of like,
I don't think Joe Biden's even alive anymore.
You think he's a full-blown
robot
now?
I think that's something else. I don't think that's the real Joe Biden.
Are you talking about like when he was getting off the helicopter that one time and glitched out?
No, I haven't even seen that. I'm talking about the earlobes are disconnected versus not disconnected. I'm talking about we've seen Joe Biden over the years through history, and it's not even like, okay, you can get all the plastic surgery in the world, but the earlobe thing, the nose is completely different. The distance between the eyes is different.
Yep.
Who knows at this point what it is? I mean, did you see the head of finance for UK or something the other day was doing a live video that got put out and she thought she was talking to Zelensky. she's having this conversation with Zelensky. It was just a, you know, a face over deep fake kind of thing.
Right.
And he says, how are we, how is the universal basic credit thing rolling out? How's the digital currency? She's like, we're on schedule. Everything's good. And he says, how are you going to get people to use it? And she says, well, it's illegal to spend more than $1,000 right now. It's a criminal activity that you can be jailed for, and we're actually going to lower that threshold to $400 to $600. And then at the end he goes, well, I think the future currency for all of Europe is firewood. And she's like, what? And she's like, oh shit, I've been gotten, right? And the whole video could have been faked.
Right.
But I hope it wasn't, right? So who knows what you're really watching? Like, if you can't feel it and touch it, and even so much so on social media where people... You have this perception and you interact on social media, and then you meet them in real life and you're like, that was all bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. It was a story that was woven, and maybe I put part of it together myself, but that's the whole thing with getting in the same room, man.
Yep.
And I really took away a few years ago, conspire. We all know conspiracy theory, but I got that from you, right? To conspire is to breathe together. And as soon as you were, that's why we ran up there. I wanted to meet you. I wanted to see the people with you. And I think that's important, man. It's just my point to all of that is you don't know anything on there is real, and it is so convincing now.
Yeah, it's impossible almost at this point to sift through what's truth, what's propaganda, and everybody has a bias. We have biases.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, I have my own personal bias. And so it's super difficult to, like you're saying, to ascertain, is this true? Is this not true? How do I know it to be true? What is truth? I'm super encouraged by the concept of a global firewood monetary system.
Absolutely. That sounded great.
I'm freaking great at firewood. I've been doing that forever. So I like this. I think a decoupling with China, for me personally, I love the concept of that from a manufacturing standpoint, from a business standpoint. You know, we inspired in large part by you and other brands and people that we know, we conspire with, that we work with. We are all in on American manufacturing. And there's a lot of people out there who will bitch and moan, it costs more, it takes longer. Yeah, it sure does. You know why? Because I'm not using 8-year-old slaves to make my stuff. And I really don't want to support companies that are. My 15-year-old is starting a nonprofit to raise awareness about child labor around the globe.
I heard that.
Like, that's incredible, right? Like, she told me that, and I'm like, I freaking love you, man. Like, you're awesome. And just, she was, just the things that she's been dropping. So she goes, where do your cigars come from? I was like, well, most of them Nicaragua. And she's like, yeah, you need to look into that. I'm like, wow. All right. I appreciate that. She goes, yeah, never buy anything from Philip Morris. Kid, you're badass.
Yeah.
But see, and that's the thing, the burden of that knowledge, once you know, like, people don't, it's the same thing with human trafficking. People, most people don't want to know, because if I don't know, I don't have to think about it. And thinking about, we were just talking about this earlier, putting new wrinkles into your brain, forming new thoughts and new habits is actually physically painful, and people don't like to do it. That's why they adopt a pattern of life, and they stay in that pattern of life. So... economic decoupling with China. I love these rabbit holes. These are great. An opinion piece published by MarketWatch postulated that once the U.S. economy was largely uncoupled from China, it would lead to, a, quote, an American industrial renaissance and millions of good-paying jobs, end quote. Officially, though, the U.S. wants no such thing. A State Department spokesperson said that according to the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, quote, we do not want to sever China's economy from ours, though China is pursuing asymmetric decoupling, end quote. While U.S. exports to China actually increased by $2.4 billion year over year, the Peterson Institute of International Economics has pointed out that this data is misleading, as the U.S. is actually falling behind in comparison to its foreign peers exporting to China. It also said that, quote, two economies are becoming less directly interdependent, China and the United States, through trade, with China shifting away from the United States economically. Quote, both have the same fear that the other side will suddenly weaponize trade flows, cut off imports or exports in the name of security. Trying to get ahead of that, each is now attempting to diversify, end quote. I agree with that. I think we're going to have a hot war with China.
When?
Soon. Within the next couple of years.
Where do you see that being?
Well, the reason I see that is because of a lot of the people that I know in the DOD are preparing for that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they came out public facing and said 25. Where do you see the battles happening?
I think it's probably going to be mostly maritime, South China Sea.
Well, I'd rather have it there than here.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they're going to come here. There's a part of me, it's probably like bravado, Midwestern cowboy. You know, my great-grandfather was the last U.S. Marshal of the Oklahoma Territory before Oklahoma was a state. So, like, that shit's literally in my mitochondrial DNA. Where I'm like, all right, let's party.
Right.
But then the practical side of me is like, probably don't want to fight a war with China on our home turf.
Well, I mean, they're going to soften up first, right? So all the prepper fiction novel series, they're awesome. But most of them leave out the invasion, you know, 6 months later, a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare for what you can prepare for. I think the biggest thing is just don't spend your entire life preparing for something that's not that you haven't seen happen yet. Not that it won't happen. And not live, right? Mm-hmm. If we believe there's some terrible shit coming. And there is. You're always going to have some terrible stuff happen. Wouldn't it be easier if you had a lot of money leading up to it? So you had more stuff and you had more distance between you and other people. And we're just so, especially the prepper channels right now. They're just the click, 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 garbage. Click, click. Everything's going to wipe you out. Everything's over. And they've all gotten really good at thumbnails. Good enough that I click on them. And once you click on one, you see them for several days, and then it shows you all the stuff the other people clicked on. But people forget to live. I'm 51. Every year of my life, something was supposed to have killed us. And here I am with 700 people coming tomorrow to talk about self-reliance. But it's not shoot them up and dig holes and hide. It's how do we continue to do business when our government unbanks us? Mm-hmm. How do we continue to do business, and how do you continue to have commerce where you are not taxed for every movement of money, right? And you have to, it's peopling. That's what he likes to say, the art of peopling, right? How do we do commerce face to face? I'll have this, you have that, we can trade this. And people come in here, you take credit cards, we do. But do you realize that every time you use a credit card, you lose a part of that money every time it moves? And when you pay me with it, I lose a piece. And then when I send it to somebody, they lose, you know, and you lose. So it's just those conversations, right? It's planting those seeds. Some of them grow. Others grow faster and shade out part of the others. It's just live.
Mm-hmm.
Live. And just be... Live with people that you want to live with. And you're never going to know when you have these groups. Like, I'm coming to your house, Bob. Okay. Well, if you haven't pre-staged 3 years of food, don't. That's fine. Or better yet, stage three years of food. And if you're not here 6 weeks before it happens, you're probably not getting here.
Yep. Yeah, I'll be talking on Sunday morning here at the Self-Reliance Festival about this balance between the 10% context of being prepared, which I see as insurance to perpetuate normalcy for the people that you love, against the 90% context of life continues.
Yeah.
Thus far, historically, people have endured. We're still here.
That's right.
And I still have a responsibility to my wife, my children, my neighbors, my faith, you know, my faith group, my businesses, my ministries. I still have to show up and perform for these things. And if you let that 10% context overshadow the 90% that I'm required to, commanded to perform these duties and to do them well, by the way, because half-assing it doesn't count. I'm required to do those things well. I've lost because I now don't have a normalcy that's worth perpetuating in the first place. It negates all the preparedness that I've ever endeavored to undertake because my life is a shit show, right? Oh yeah, I put up all this food for all these people. They don't love me anymore and they don't want to be around me. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
That's stupid. And so we clickbait, fear porn titles and thumbnails and all of that, right? It's easy to focus on that. And what you look for, you will find. The amount of information that's out there right now, or information, air quote, that's out there right now, you can find, to your point earlier, do we even know this is real? You can find information to support any thought process, any worldview. Any bias you have, you can find that information. And if you go looking for doomer porn, you will absolutely find it. And your life will be filled with doomer porn. And you'll be filled with angst and anxiety, which is going to lead to inaction, which is going to lead to dissatisfaction, which is going to make you myopic and cynical. And now everybody's a bad guy and I hate everybody and I'm just going to live in a hole on the side of a mountain and that's my preparedness plan. That's bullshit, man. Now, do I have days? I want to live on the side of a mountain alone? Yes. They are just days, right? I love the idea of it. Occasionally, I'll even go do it.
Yeah.
I own some land on the side of a mountain.
But you can go back easily, right? Well, we don't want to be the only ones there forever. Right.
Well, it's almost stoic for me because the last time I did that was in the middle of an ice storm. And I went and I put up a poncho hooch. I built a fire. I laid out my bedroll. And I sat on my bedroll in front of this little fire, which nailed the hooch, nailed the fire. It was 28 degrees and sleeting, and I was down to my sleeveless t-shirt and my boxers sitting on my bedroll because I was sweating so much, right? I was just sitting there, had my Bible out, reading that, and found some calm. And I was like, if I can be good here in an ice storm under a GI poncho with my wool blanket, my sleeping bag, and a little fire going, and the word, I can be good anywhere.
Right.
And so like, and it was just a little bit of a reset. And so I did that. And after a hot minute, I packed my stuff back up, walked back out to the truck, drove home. And so it's good to do things like that. I think, it was either Aurelius or Epictetus that once per month would just lay on his floor for like 3 days. He'd give up his bed and he'd just go lay on the floor for 3 days and eat nothing. And then that would remind him monthly, like, my bed is cool. I'm blessed that I have this bed.
Right,
food is cool. Yeah, this bread I was bitching about yesterday, I'm super thankful to have today.
Recalibrated.
Right. And so there's value to that recalibration, but that's not a life plan, living on the side of a mountain, because you dove so deep into these prepper rabbit hole bullshit lines of thinking that now you've withdrawn literally or figuratively from society and you're no longer contributing. And you're denying all of the responsibility that you have to the people that the Father has put around you, whoever those people might be, your wife, your kids, your friends, your family, your faith group, whatever that is. I believe we have an essential duty to one another on a very human level. If I let you into my circle on some level, I'm now in part or in whole responsible for you. And if you're my wife or kids, the Father has put you inside of my circle, I'm 100% responsible for you. And I don't get to abdicate the throne of that responsibility because I'm all worked up and anxious about what China's gonna do.
Right.
Right? Doesn't mean I don't have a plan for that, but I also need to have a plan for Tuesday. And I think that's what a lot of people miss. Like, they have their doomsday plan. They don't have their Tuesday plan.
Yeah. Well, Grandma, we call it prepping, right? Grandma called it Tuesday.
Exactly.
I say that all the time. And your 10% 90 thing, right? How much more badass would the 10% be if you put the effort and the condition into the 90, right? People want to take that 10% and forget the 90, or they do forget the 90. So you can find what you look for, right? I believe it's targeted, because when you operate out of fear or anger or hostility, you also, that's that fight or flight, right? So you're not well rested because the adrenaline dump,
and then
you tank, right? So you don't ever rest well when you sleep and you don't think clearly. And I believe that a lot of it is actually by design.
I think it is
to dumb you down, because people who are dumbed down, they're easier to control. They're easier to get to do the mob action kind of thing. And then they're also more beholden to the system.
Yep.
They don't go, we no longer mind because you no longer matter. We don't need you.
Yep.
I don't have to go to a breadline. I don't have to go to the handout. If you turn my bank account off, I can still continue commerce without you guys.
So, my brother Rex, I did that video, the militia versus the government, which pissed a bunch of people off. And
They didn't listen to all of it.
No,
then.
They didn't.
They didn't get to the end.
The average watch time was 14 minutes, and that video was 30 minutes long.
Yeah,
so,
just like the body armor one. Yep. Nobody wanted to hear that shit, but they didn't listen to all of it.
Right. So my brother Rex left a comment on that video, and he said, the best way to fight the government is to not need them. I agree with that 100%. That's the whole idea behind this channel, is Bear Independent. If you look at my life, I'm not independent of people. I've been blessed to be surrounded by awesome people, but I'm trying to build a life that is independent of the system so that if slash when the system collapses, I don't collapse with it.
Yeah.
That's a big part of what's happening at Self-Reliance Festival this weekend, is that concept and fleshing out what that looks like for the 700 plus people that are going to be here. And it's not a shameless plug. I don't derive any income from telling you to come to Self-Reliance Festival. In fact, Nicole was trying to pay me out affiliates. I was like, I don't want to be an affiliate. I was like, I just want people to come. Yeah. I was like, take that money and do whatever you want to do with it, right?
I've not pulled a dime out of this. I've not made a single penny off of any of the five Self-Reliance Festivals. It has all gone back into the next festival.
Right, because the value with that is not this,
yep.
Right? And we both have mechanisms for this, right? The value of Self-Reliance Festival is the networking and the pouring into people and the instruction and the dwell time, right? The conspiring, breathing right. together with people. I like vibe checking people. You know, like you were talking about earlier, these influencers and internet personalities. I've met a bunch of them at these, influencer days, mm-hmm. Industry events, all that. It's like, you are not the same person.
Hell no.
And I just lost all respect for you, man. There are a handful of them that are, and they're the good ones, man. Jared from Guns and Gadgets, super real guy. That dude is a super real guy. He's an awesome dude. And there's a handful of the Michaleks, Jerry and Lena Michalek.
Oh, Michalek, yeah.
They are super real. Like, yeah. What you see is what you get. But a lot of those influencers and people, they are not the same people when the camera's on versus when the camera's off. So just because you know somebody from the internet, if you have the opportunity to go vibe check them, JohnnyPants315 is my best friend on the internet. Like, you should probably go meet Johnny Pants and make sure that, like, that's not some deranged psychopath.
Make sure your online girlfriend is not a dude.
Well, I don't know in today's day and age if that matters anymore.
Right. That's what people, because this thing has replaced our friends, right?
Mm.
And we were having a conversation yesterday with somebody, and he said, I would push back a little bit. Like, maybe you can be friends with somebody on this thing. But so often, and I used to use our group, our Facebook group, versus an AR15.com group, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a page on there that was 33 pages long about SOE, and they deleted all of the positive comments, so there's only 3 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't read right. It's all out of sequence, and it's only 3 dudes. And I said, look, the difference between us and them is every one of us, we have stood face-to-face. Most of us have had meals together. We've all been in buildings and on premises together. If you took dudes from forum groups and you snatched up 100 of us and 100 of them and you gassed them in a van or whatever and we all woke up on the floor, the difference between us and them is we all know each other. You take 100 of us, 75 of us, we have been someplace, we know who we are, we now know what's in common. You grab 100 dudes from the random internet, they don't have a clue what they are or who they are. And they also don't have any capability or skill for the most part. Right? It's easy to feel good about buying things, right? Those are collectors, prep tenders. They have a lot of stuff. It's all in box. I'm guilty of some of it myself. It's in boxes. They don't know how to use it. They've never put it together. They don't even know if the batteries are functioning. But they don't go out and do any skills, and they don't actually meet people. They sit at 10 o'clock at night, and they're on Amazon, and they're buying stuff, and fitness is free, and most of them have no fitness whatsoever, but they've got a lot of stuff. Hey, how many times have you guys seen a thread like, I have $10 to spend on preps this week, what should I get? Nothing. You should take $10 and figure out how to make it $100. They don't want to hear that, though.
Yep. I agree with that completely, man. Are you an Andy Frazella fan?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually have friends that have been on Andy's show. I've never personally met Andy. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
I was eating Andy.
Cross-post it. That'd be cool. So, again, the idea with preparedness, personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion. Most people don't want to invest in themselves because it's an easy, quick fix to just buy shit off of Amazon or whatever.
Endorphin release.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's got to be the same thing as when, like, the suburban moms go to Target and just go shopping, right?
Right. How many times have you... I've done it, right? Target, and you walk in there, and you walk out with a bunch of stuff that you never planned to buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we go into these stores, TJ Maxx or wherever, and you're like... You look around, and I tell Amanda all the time, I go, there's not a single thing in here that you actually need in your life.
Yep.
It's tchotchkes, right? It's decorations. It's stuff that you're going to sit on a shelf and not dust, and most of it still has the price tags on it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever read that book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg?
I have not.
So there's an incredible chapter in there that talks about data and Target, amongst many other companies, how Target tracks its buyers' shopping habits.
13-year-old pregnant girl.
Yep.
Yep.
That's exactly right. You're killing it, Ed.
Yep.
You're doing great.
That's where I was.
Are we back up?
Or yeah, no? You're live.
Okay, cool. And so, yeah, they literally, based upon buying habits,
yep,
with the your Target ID, right? Well, they track everything every purchase you make, when you make it, how often you make it, how you moved through the store based upon how stuff got put on the conveyor belt and then scanned in off of that Target guest ID. Okay, so when they're like, hey, do you want to join up our loyalty? No. You'll get a discount? No.
That's how they caught a bunch of serial killers off of certain foods they were buying as they were truck drivers traveling around the country. So they also were targeting views of young girls, and they were sending pregnancy coupon packages home, and dad's like, what is this? I don't have any pregnant people in my house. Well, imagine dad's surprise.
Yep.
Yep. And that was Target too.
He actually had to apologize to Target. He showed up to the Target, local Target, and started screaming at the store manager, came back 6 weeks later and is like, and good on him for having the integrity to do this. He's like, I'm sorry, you were right. Like, that's crazy. The amount of data that we give away.
Yep.
People don't understand it. We'll finish the brief here. As it stands, the tariffs imposed on China have resulted in consumers paying more and U.S. companies diversifying their supply chains. The tariffs from 2018 and 2019 increased the prices of some U.S. produced goods by 3 or 4%. Still less than inflation. One area that can demonstrate the confusingly deceptive numbers of this economic decoupling is agriculture. American farmers are more reliant on the Chinese market, with U.S. agricultural exports to China up 16% in the last year. In terms of total U.S. farm exports, China is buying a large portion, 19%. However, from China's perspective, the U.S. is providing a smaller portion of its imported farm products overall, only 18%. So while their imports from the United States are up, it represents a smaller amount of their total imports, representing an 8% overall reduction across the last decade. Opinion shows that the United States has once again become the expected future economic power, with a Gallup poll showing that a bipartisan 44% of U.S. adults believe their country will come out ahead, as opposed to 37% who still believe China will be the leading economic power. Perhaps like the Market Watch opinion piece author, many envision a rosy renaissance of American industry. The Peterson Institute of International Economics wrote, quote, there is no sign that U.S. exports of manufactured products will go back to their pre-trade war trajectory. U.S. exports to China of manufactured goods not only failed to recover after the trade war, but they now show signs of getting worse. This is important because prior to the trade war, manufacturing was 44% of total U.S. goods and services exported to China, the largest component of pre-trade war commerce. By 2022, that had fallen to 41%. So exports of agriculture and U.S. manufactured goods to China are down. I'm interested on your opinion about the renaissance of American manufacturing, though, because my thought is if we can replace the shit that people buy from China here in the United States.
Stuff that they don't need that doesn't keep them alive.
Or that has to be replaced every year because it keeps breaking.
Yeah.
With stuff that's manufactured here that's of a higher quality. And there are instances, for example, when I was in the, when I worked at the wood shop, American plywood was just not as good as Chinese plywood. It's just a fact. American birch plywood was not as good as China and China birch. And Baltic birch, which comes from Russia, the Baltics, was the best plywood you could get for cabinet making, Baltic birch. Guess what's not on the market anymore?
Yeah, I heard you say that before.
That you can't get Baltic birch anymore. In fact, at SHOT Show, we spent part of the day at World of Concrete, and we ran into a guy, a Russian guy. He just happened to sit down next to us as we were eating lunch, and we get to talking. Hey, man, what do you do? He's like, I sell plywood. I'm like, wow, what do you sell? And he's like, Baltic birch. And I was like, no shit. And he goes, yeah, nobody wants it because it comes from Russia and the sentiment against Russia right now is so bad, nobody will buy plywood. I said, hold on, let me make a couple of phone calls. So sitting there next to this guy, I called some people that I know in Texas who are, they build stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, do you want a semi-load of Baltic birch? And they're like, you can get Baltic birch? I'm like, absolutely. Talk to this guy. I was like, hey, give him your phone number, right? Because it's the best on the market. Now, I would prefer to spend that money with an American manufacturer, but the quality of the product has to be as good or better in that instance than the foreign options that I have, the Baltic birch, the China birch, right? So I think in part the onus is on American manufacturers to not make shit, because I can already buy shit from everybody else, right? So make good, high quality stuff.
And target the correct customer.
I was just gonna say, I'm way less price driven than I am quality driven. Because if you consider the replacement cost of all the shit that, you know, if you buy a good thing for $100 or a poorly constructed thing for $20, but I have to replace this poorly constructed thing every 6 months, at what point should I have just spent $100 on this thing that's going to last forever? You know, like I have some of your equipment. It's incredible. It's incredibly well made. The sling that I have on my rifle that I grab every day, that I ruck with, that I train with, everything, it looks like it's 2 weeks old. It does. It looks like it's 2 weeks old, and I think you sent that to me a couple of years ago.
It's all the green screening you're doing.
Yeah, it's all the green screen.
You're not actually,
right?
Out there.
But I mean, that it has mud on it from North Dakota. It has dust on it from New Mexico. It's got dead mosquitoes on it from Florida. It's got pine needles from Oklahoma stuck to it. And it's still there, and it still works. Versus, and I don't know what your slings cost, but I guarantee you they cost more than some Chinese shit off of Amazon, some of which I've bought as well. Guess what? They've broken over the years. Yours still looks like it's 2 weeks old.
Jaeger always called it heirloom quality gear. Your great grandkids are going to use that gear or have the ability to when you're gone.
Exactly.
Like as a kid, I grew up playing with canvas gear, you know, from Korea and some nylon as it came into Vietnam. But that stuff's still there. It still exists, right? The Chinese stuff, it will still exist. But a lot of that stuff that we're calling Chinese stuff, it's not even Chinese. It's like Pakistan. It's the gun show stuff, right? Yep. It's that holster. You pick it up, and it looks like a holster, but when you pick it up, it's flat, right? It has no shape to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the materials, they're good at perception, right? They're not after the dudes that are doing it for real.
Yep.
They're after the guys that they can get through targeted marketing.
That's exactly
And it's just different materials, man. The stretch rate on the bungee. How many inches does it stretch per foot?
Mm-hmm.
What is the weight? How many pounds does it take to stretch? How many pieces of rubber are in there?
Yep.
You know, and how do you sew it? When you sew it on the end, those pieces of rubber are separate. How do you hold that together? It's just how you manufacture that thing, right? It's how you put it together. And we have built those bungee slings for over 25 years, and we've never seen we've seen guys catch the buckle in a tailgate or a door. Hey, my sling broke. No, you broke your sling. What happened to it? How did it break? We'll fix it. What happened to it? But I've never seen them come in where the tubular nylon's failed, where the stitching has failed, or where the bungee has failed.
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist.
In the last year, we've had, at Refuge, we've had one kit come back for a mechanical failure. And it was an adventure kit with the handle on top. One end of the handle head was fraying and coming loose. We replaced it immediately. And then we changed the way we manufacture that so we don't have that problem again. And so, like, we're actually encouraged when somebody reaches out and they're like, hey, your thing broke. Awesome. So that's on us. It's not on you. Here's a replacement. Sorry for that. Can you send me the bag that broke? Because I want to do an autopsy.
Right.
I want to see how did it fail. And of course, they sent in pictures and, you know, gave us a debrief and the whole nine. But then I can take that. I can walk across the room to the sew shop and be like, all right, this was an issue. We need to not do this again. Right. And, shit happens. But I've had guys, you know, lost their kit. They had it when they hopped on the helicopter. They didn't have it when it came back. I'm like, I have literally no idea what happened there. I don't know if you forgot to attach the Molly straps or what, but whatever. Here's another kit, dude. Like, I'm sorry that happened, because I want that real end user feedback of what works, what doesn't work, so we can continue to iterate and make products that actually work. And I think more American companies should do that.
So I don't do that. My default is actually asshole, always. Like, no, this couldn't have happened, right? But yeah, we take care of our problems. We want to see the thing back, pictures of it. typically, if you have a piece of product that has an issue, we ask you to cut it in half.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll send you another one. But it's very few and far between. Like, it, every now and then you'll catch some dude. He's like, hey, I got this thing and I got the wrong color. I'm like, cool, can you send me the picture of all the three that you bought previously?
Right.
The picture never comes. It just seems like it takes a lot of time to try to game the system. And it's just easier on our end, just like you said, just push it out, right?
Yep.
Just do it. It's easier. What you're going to gain from it is far greater than the one or two you might weed out.
Yeah. And some people are assholes. And I have, again, you find what you look for. I have the capacity to go looking for assholes. But in my experience with our customer base, it's 1 in 10,000.
It's walking over dollars to pick up pennies is what it is, right?
Yep.
And it, what is your time cost?
Exactly.
How much time can I make in 1 hour with that sewing machine running doing custom work? And that's what I judge everything off of.
Yep.
I don't want a $500 an hour attorney. I want a $10,000 an hour attorney.
That's right.
And that's and if, as long as you remember that, it prevents the asshole coming out, right? I can go to asshole really fast. I have to remind myself that my time costs more money than that. Yeah.
Yep. And don't let those people live rent-free in your head either.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
now I'm focused on this. I've got this huge deal that I'm working on over here, but I'm thinking about, you know, Johnny Pants 315. And it's like, that shit's stupid, right? Mm-hmm. It's weakness. And I'm prone to it occasionally as well. It's weakness. And it's like, I really need to be powerful and strong, focused on this thing over here. I need to be bringing my best to this. Because my job in the organization now, I'm at the top. Right. And so if I'm getting involved because a customer had an issue on something, like, that's already outside of my purview. We have awesome people that we employ to do that. That's their job. If they escalate to me, it's gone through three people by the time it gets to me. It's like, and part of that is systems and processes. Like, everybody in the organization is allowed to just make stuff right. Just make it right. Default to what would I do? I would make it right. So therefore, you just make it right, whatever it is, so that it doesn't end up on my desk. And now I'm taking time away from strategic partnerships. Like, if I'm thinking about Johnny Pants 315 instead of what are we doing with Pete and Jocko at Origin, I've failed. You know, like, that's I have failed at that point, and the systems are bad. And so empowering the people who that is their purview, just make it right. Because even if this guy or girl is a total asshole and they're trying to game the system, okay, put a Bearfac in a box, send it to them next.
Right.
Because you got hundreds of orders behind that one that need to get out as well. So
Jocko's got some guys in his organization. We built gear for him out of mom's garage.
That's awesome.
A bunch of guys, actually. There's several dudes over there. That all that gear in there that says NSW, that came from those dudes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Before anybody had ever heard Jocko's name outside of the Navy.
Yep. Yeah. Good dudes.
Yeah.
Good dudes. So I'm hopeful for an American renaissance in manufacturing. I know that several different organizations have estimated that we need to double, if not triple, the size of the manufacturing base in America over the next 5 to 10 years. For me, getting back to that 90% context, that sounds like opportunity. That's something that I want to be a part of. And that's why we have 4 sew shops now. We have a blow molded case company. We have a metal shop, CNC shop that we're partnered with, right? We're working on being the first company on the face of the earth that makes surgical shears in America.
How far are you from that?
A couple of months.
That's cool.
Because everybody just defaulted to, well, you can get them from Pakistan.
That's where they come. Yeah.
I can get shit from anywhere. I can get shit from anywhere. I don't want to. I want to make them here. So instead of every time I buy a set of shears, that money passes through 2 or 3 hands and then ends up in Pakistan, I want it to pass through 1 pair of hands and end up here, right? Because every time, I mean, we praise the Father are now to the point where we are buying shit by the pallet load, right? So if I get a pallet of shears, how much money did I just send to Pakistan instead of keeping here?
Right.
You know, that's stupid to me. So we're leaning heavily in that direction. We've invested a lot of money. About in the last 12 months, about 20% of gross, not net, of gross has been reinvested in American manufacturing by Refuge on our end. And obviously it's something we're passionate about. You think we're going to spin up our American manufacturing, or you think we're going to hit a slump? What do you think?
I don't know, man. If I am of the belief, I'm torn, right? I go into factories, I go to sewing machine places, and there's 6,000 sewing machines, and I'm like, where did this come from? American manufacturing is dying, right? Mm-hmm. I have machines in the building that came from other sew companies that and I'm like, where did these come from? These were in Puerto Rico, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all these companies, they kind of skate around it. It's not within the United States, but they have the ability to manufacture outside of the United States and still brand it as the United States. I can't find people with skill that sit down and sew, right? Try to find a sewing machine tech. Mm-hmm. Try to find a dude that can come in. Like my dude, when he comes in here, he was in Florida or Texas. Hey, I've got three machines down. I can come tomorrow, but it's an additional $600 travel fee, right?
Yep.
Or if you can wait next week, I'll be crossing through Tennessee. Those dudes are just, there's a handful of them. Mm-hmm. Like there's maybe six. And it's they're just not there. And I saw a picture this morning of a young kid working on a sewing machine. I said, how old is that kid? And I haven't seen the reply yet. There are companies trying to make it happen.
Yep.
It's just getting those customers, right? My customers don't live in this area. People come in the building and they're like, I didn't know you were here. I'm like, yes, that's on purpose.
Yep.
How come this belt is $65? And they're conditioned to that Walmart thing, right?
Yep.
Whereas our client base, well, that dude's asking how come the belt is $65? Well, the buckle costs $30.
Yep.
I have 1,000 dudes willing to buy it without having to have the conversation, right?
Yep.
So it's contagious, right? We put out a good product, and my focus, especially for the last, I've been listening to a lot of different content the last 6 months, advertising and marketing. We can spend a ton of money on advertising and marketing, or we can service the first customer 1,000%, right? And then he's going to go out and he is going to evangelize. Exactly. He's going to tell two people without me having to pay him to do it. We delivered a good product, but we delivered an experience and a service, right? My buddy was here. He's one of the top salesmen for Porsche yesterday. And that's what we were talking about. He said, I'm not selling you a car. I'm selling you a membership to a family. We are selling you an experience.
Yep.
I don't have a single customer who has come in and bought any Porsche from me who walks away with a bad experience or a bad taste in their mouth. And actually, most Porsche owners have bought 3 to 4 cars. And there's dudes that come in and they're like, I want this thing. I know you don't have it. I am willing to buy 2 right now. I will drive this for 6 months until I get this one, and I'll buy one for my wife.
Yep.
And that's that experience, right? That doesn't happen at a Ford dealership. It doesn't happen at it's the exclusivity. And you can deal with people. And I'm not saying you got to deal with rich people, but when a customer comes in for that item, they know what they want. I didn't do any advertising to gain that customer. Mm-hmm. Another client told them about us.
Yep. And that carries way more weight than a targeted Instagram ad or a Facebook ad or whatever it might be. Because if you tell me, some of the suppliers we use, you told me about.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, we're in a jam. I need American nylon. I need this. Where do I get black multicam from? And so even though we have each other's phone numbers, you love to message me on Instagram instead.
I just forward you stuff. Yeah. Because I can send it to you. It's usually, hey, listen. And I try to tell you, 5 minutes in, this is the thing.
Yeah. But so I reached out to you and I'm like, hey, I'm looking for this, right? And so if you tell me, use these people, because I know you, right? And I trust you, that carries so much more weight than if I saw a Facebook ad for this company that makes ballistic nylon, right? Knowing that you trust it and you work with them and these are the people you need to talk to. If I'm in the market for a belt and somebody says, go get an SOE belt at $65, I'm like, sold. So I've had $190 belts, not that great.
Yeah,
they're okay, right? And they work, right?
Yeah.
And so I agree with that though, the customer experience and aiming for the highest possible standard is really important. Our standard at Refuge is excellence. Perfection is not attainable by man. We can't hit perfect, but I can hit excellent. I want every individual within the organization to do whatever they do on behalf of the customer, on behalf of the company, excellently, to the best of your ability. We do not tolerate bullshit. And the people that we have are an absolute blessing, that they don't engage in bullshit. Everybody aims towards excellence. And I think we have really, really excellent customer service. I think we have an awesome product. So, well, that's the brief for today. We are at SOE Tactical today. Self-Reliance Festival is this weekend, Camden, Tennessee. Self-RelianceFestival.com, right?
That's right.
Do you still have any tickets left?
I'm sure that there is some way to get here. We also, I think there's an online deal they can do if they can't actually get here.
Okay, cool. Go to the website, Self-Reliance Festival. I'm here this weekend. You're here this weekend. Jack Spirko is here.
Jack's not making it.
Oh, Jack's not making
Paul Wheaton's coming in. Okay. I mean, there's
Dr. Kenberry.
Yeah, powerhouse of names.
Yeah. It's awesome. We got refuge training ongoing right now.
Two of them back to back.
We'll have a refuge booth set up on Sunday. We'll have kits for sale. If you can't get here, refugemedical.com. Handmade, made in America, guaranteed forever. Best first aid kits on the planet. In fact, you tried to hire our sewer.
I didn't even know.
I know.
He was here in town taking some classes.
Yep.
And he's making clothes. I'm like, this dude's weird.
Yep.
Like, I like this guy. And he was just showing me all his stuff. I'm like, you want a job? Like, do you want to move here? But never did he say, hey, maybe you should move out here. Maybe you should come check this out. I didn't find you till probably 2 years, maybe 3 years later.
Yep.
And then I watched a bunch of your stuff, and then I saw that dude, or I saw you liking him somehow through social media. I put it all together, and then I said, hey, do you know this Sojourn guy? And yeah.
Here, let me see the back of your chair. This is a Sojourn Gear chess rig that Cody made. This is the saw rig. It's got our arc on a dangler beneath it. And this saw rig, I've got it in T&E right now. I've yet to put it through its paces, but I'll be giving this away on Patreon to one of the patrons, loaded like as it sits right here with the arc and everything else. And so still playing with it, but he just does incredible work. And so Refuge Medical, Refuge Training, don't be an ass, come to class, learn the fine art of how to not die. refugetraining.com. There's only a handful of public classes available on the current calendar. That may change third quarter of 2023, but as for right now, 90% likely that tomorrow's just gonna be a normal day, 10% likely that, you know, the Chinese paratroopers invade. You should probably know the basics of how to handle a medical situation. And grindstoneministries.com, if you wanna support our ongoing disaster relief efforts or our ongoing anti-human trafficking efforts, you can visit grindstoneministries.com. That's the show, bro. I appreciate you sitting in.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you letting us hang out here, be at Self-Reliance Festival, teach people in your gym, which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, man.
It's the only gym I've ever been in with a taxidermy giraffe.
Five. Don't sell me short, bro.
Five taxidermy. Five. Yep. It was cool. I walked in there this morning, and Snowbird's in there just getting after it. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to sit down and do some reps. Yeah. So it was cool.
Remember, you guys can host a class too, right? If you can't get on a schedule, get 20 of your closest friends or strangers together. You can host a class. Like, it does. You can do this. You can put it together.
Yeah, it's not a thing. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, we just did two back. We're doing two of them back to back. We filled the whole first class, filled the second one.
Praise y'all. All right, y'all. That's the show for today. I hope y'all have a blessed day. Shalom.
Thanks, guys.
Hit the little X in the top corner, Snowbird, and then hit end stream.